Dear Eliza, as I write this letter to you, it is my intent that you read it on July 31st, 2026, 15 years to the day after I wrote it. God willing, you are doing so right now. You may be asking yourself, why should I read this today? The answer is that it is the 15th anniversary of an important event in your life, and one that you probably haven't thought about too often in the intervening years. But let me come back to that later. First, I'd like to tell you a little bit about July 2011. Barack Obama is President of the United States, and in 2012 there will be a presidential election. In fact, when you are reading this, there will have been 4 presidential elections, so you may not remember Barack Obama as president. The nation and the world have experienced a tough few years economically. As I write this, there are significant debates among those who govern our nation around national debt and spending. Locally, we've seen some very big changes this summer in the sorts of activities that the public schools will be able to provide as a result of budget issues. I'm guessing there are still movies in 2026. The number one movie in the nation right now is The Smurfs, based on a cartoon that was popular when I was younger than you are today. Hollywood has sort of run out of good ideas and tends to recycle a lot of old ones. Hopefully, that has changed for the better in 2026. New technology is coming along more quickly than ever. Tablet computers are very popular right now. In fact, they helped put the company that I worked for over the last 20 years out of business just this month. I worked for a company named Borders Books and Music, which sold printed books and music and movie discs. But technology has made much of that unnecessary. Now, you can read your books in an electronic format and stream your music and movies from the internet. Many communicate through social networking websites like Facebook. You will not remember a time when that was not possible. I can only imagine what changes have taken place by the time you read this letter. It is my hope that you are a part of this community of faith at Good News Church. Maybe I'm still the pastor in 2026. If I am, I suppose at the age of 55, I won't be considered a newer model. But, as Joy Watts, one of our members at Good News, recently suggested to me, at least I'll be eligible for AARP benefits. Whether you are here or your life has taken you elsewhere, I'd like to share a little bit about Good News. We're a small church today, but we're growing. We serve the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we help each other to grow in discipleship, and we do our best to serve each other. I just became the pastor here this year, and a few months later, your mom joined the church as a confessing member. During a meeting with me and the elders of this congregation, your mom confessed her faith in Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. She also asked that we baptize you. Your baptism took place 15 years ago today. Unlike birthdays and holidays, we don't tend to celebrate baptisms each year. But that does not mean that it is any less important. On the contrary, your baptism is of eternal importance, because through it, God offered the benefits of Christ's redemption to you. When you were baptized, you were a spunky, adorable toddler, and if I told you about Christ's redemption, you might have smiled bashfully, grabbed your mom's leg, but you wouldn't have understood. Now that you are 16, and you make decisions every day about what you are going to do, and about what is right and what is wrong, it is important for you to understand what your baptism means for you today. Now, you probably know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, in order to bring you to right relationship with him. There is no way for you to have that relationship with God without Christ. Why? Along with the rest of the human race, you are a sinner. Your nature is to be disobedient to God, and you are disobedient in real ways. Have you disrespected your parents today? That is sin. Have you spread a gossipy story? That is sin. Have you told a little lie? That is sin. You probably know where I'm going here. We've all sinned. And Paul tells us in Romans 3:23 that we've all fallen short of God's perfection, and we are separated from him by a gap so wide that we can't cross it on our own. It's so bad that without Christ, you are a slave to sin. You are a slave to the devil, and your punishment is death under the eternal wrath of God. Remember John 3:16, though. God does not want that for you, and it is so important to him that he gave his only Son, who gave his life at the cross to save you from your sin. He paid the price that was yours to pay, and what he did paid for all of your sins that you've committed so far and all those that you will commit in the future. All of this is a free gift, and all you need to do is believe in him and believe that it has been done for you. This belief is more than knowing some facts. It is knowing that you needed him to die for your sins, and trusting that your salvation was accomplished by his death for you. Even that belief, which we usually call faith, is not something we can do on our own. That's how disobedient and sinful we are by nature. Without the Holy Spirit delivering that faith to us, we can never believe, because we will only ever oppose God and his plan for us. But God loves you so much, Eliza, that he didn't just give the plan of salvation, he delivered it to you as well. Think about it like this. If someone buys you a gift but never actually delivers it to you, it's not much of a gift, right? The buyer needs to get the gift to you so you can receive it. Well, the Holy Spirit is the deliverer, and he gives you the gift through the gospel, which also means good news. The good news is what God has accomplished for you in Jesus Christ. And when you hear the gospel proclaimed, the Holy Spirit is at work convincing you and others to receive Christ's gift to you. And this is where baptism fits in. Baptism is another way that the Holy Spirit delivers the good news and what Christ has done. The act of baptism itself does nothing. Water is just water. But when the water is connected to God's word, you have yet another way that God proclaims the gospel to us and delivers the work of Christ. I've got to be honest with you, Eliza. Many Christians can get tripped up by our church's understanding of baptism. They might say to you that we understand baptism as another way of salvation, or as a work that we can do in place of what Christ has done. It is important that you understand this next statement. Baptism does not save you. Christ's work saves you. Baptism is, however, a way that God offers to you the benefit of what Christ has done. So baptism is not something you do for God. Baptism is something that God does for you. It is a way that He gives this precious gift of faith and salvation. It's also possible that someone will suggest to you that you should be rebaptized because you didn't have a choice in your baptism. So I'd like to share a few things about why you were baptized when you were so young. As hard as it is to believe, even newborn babies are sinful. Remember, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Psalm 51:5 tells us that our sin goes all the way back to the moment we were conceived. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. From conception, we are under the same penalty of death as everyone else. But, praise God, we are also included in God's promise. In Acts 2, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." So sinfulness includes children, and the promise of God's grace includes children. So we baptize children. Remember as well that faith is a gift. And if it is a gift, what prevents a child from receiving it? Jesus even addressed this with his disciples in Luke chapter 18. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." The best candidate for salvation was not an experienced decision-making adult. The best candidate for salvation was but a child. In Psalm 22:9, David said, "You made me trust in you even at my mother's breast." How is that possible? It is possible because faith is a gift from God. It is not something that we do. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 2, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." At your baptism 15 years ago, you were a sinner who needed salvation and could offer nothing for that gift. You couldn't cooperate with God, and you couldn't even make a contribution towards your salvation. You could only receive what God gives. Today, at the age of 16, you are a sinner who needs salvation, and there is nothing you can offer to God for it. There is a big difference today, however. You are at an age now where you can choose or reject a gift. You need to continually understand your need for Christ. And in that way, your baptism should be significant every day, not just as an event 15 years ago. Every day, you need to repent of your sinful nature and your actual sins, remembering the gift given to you in baptism. And all of this brings me to the issue most important to the pastor who baptized you 15 years ago. Eliza, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you? It's not important what you once believed. It's not important what you might believe in the future. Today is the day of salvation. Your faith is a present issue, not a past one. Your baptism does not save you. You are saved by grace through your faith because of what Christ did for you. Eliza, what do you believe right now? People hear the gospel every single day and reject the gift of salvation? Well, people are baptized and reject the gift of salvation too. Baptism is not an end of the faith journey, but the beginning of the faith journey. The gift given to you in baptism is received by faith and lived out in relationship with God as you depend solely on the merits of what Christ has done for you. On the day of your baptism, Eliza, your family and your church family at Good News committed to be examples of righteousness to you, to pray for you, and to share God's word with you. On this day, in your 16th year of life, I hope that you can say that we have lived up to that commitment. But if we have not, know this, we're sinners too, and we fail. We are only saved by the grace of God, who has never failed us and will never fail you. The promise that God made to you in your baptism will always hold, and He will never reject you if you only receive His gift of grace through faith. Whether the last 15 years have been a time of increasing growth in faith, or whether there have been times you have slipped and doubted God's gift to you, believe right now. Confess your sin and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God has a plan and a purpose for you, Eliza. Never settle for anything less, because on July 31st, 2011, you were baptized into Christ. You were given the gift of salvation by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you were marked as a child of God. May you grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pastor Michael Edwards.